Good morning, everybody. Last week we said we were going to take a look at Romans in 30 minutes or less. Romans was written to the city of Rome. Paul's the author. Has Paul ever been there? Not yet. When he wrote it, he hadn't been there yet. So, what else do we know about the city? Well, probably 50% of the city were slaves. Yeah, 50% slaves. So you've got the well-off people and you've got 50% being slaves. That's just kind of, yeah. It is doctrinally similar to Corinthians. And Rome probably had somewhere in the neighborhood of 1 to 4 million people. So we learn later in Romans that Paul was planning to visit. He was going to deliver the collection, right? He's been encouraging a bunch of the churches to take up a collection, an offering, and he was going to go back to Jerusalem, share it with the church there, and then he was going to go on to Rome, and then after Rome, he was heading to Spain. That was his plan, and that's what he was going out and doing. So let's take a look. Turn with me to Romans, and we don't need to go very far before Paul sets us up with the theme. Paul, a slave of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through. So, the gospel of God. Paul's going to explain what the gospel of God is. And since he was speaking to the slaves there, he addresses himself as a slave of Christ Jesus. And then if we drop down to verse 16, let's turn to the text and you can see that. Paul's going to explain the gospel of God. We drop down to verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Little verse out of the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk 2:4, the righteous shall live by faith. And that little verse is kind of influenced three different books of the Bible. And we're going to really be looking at the righteousness of God in here, in this particular book. And there's another book that'll talk about shall live, Galatians. And the by faith. So, but the theme of the book of Romans, the gospel of God, or redemption. And so we're going to take a look at that. And Romans has been used, from what I understand, in legal school back when it was okay to look at the Bible. And for logic classes, because Romans is really just a step-by-step, Paul's rationing through, logicking. Paul asks rhetorical questions and then he answers it. And so he's going to explain through the gospel of God or the story of redemption. So if we pick up at verse 18, we'll start. And Paul's going to talk about God's wrath on the unrighteous. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. So then Paul goes on and talks about how the unrighteous suppress the truth of God, and therefore they are to blame. We pick up chapter 2. Therefore, you have no excuse, O man, every one of you who judges, for in passing judgment on another you condemn yourselves, because you, the judge, practice the very same things. We know that the judgment of God rightly falls on those who practice such things. Do you suppose, O man, that you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourselves, that you will escape the judgment of God? So Paul's talking in chapter 1, 2, and 3, really, about the condemnation of all people, because he starts, okay, the unrighteous, they don't know God, but they've rejected God. Okay, now what about the moral people? Okay, so that's the heathen. Well, okay, they're unrighteous. Okay, but the people that are claiming to be righteous, they're sinners too. And Paul's logically stepping through all of this. And drop down to 2:12. For all have sinned without the law. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law who will be justified. So the unrighteous are guilty before God, and the moralist and those who are judging are sinners. And just in case you didn't think that you fell under there, he continues and he explains. And then he talks about those that are thinking that they're righteous and their righteous works. And so, in case you don't think you're one of those other two, and oh, you're like one of them Jewish people or religious people, Paul covers that. And chapter 3, verse 20, for by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been made manifest apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. And we're really familiar with the partial phrase, which is, we jump to verse 23, but really, Paul's setting up throughout the whole chapter. And so let's pick up at 21. But now the righteousness of God has been manifest apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there's no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. The heathen are unrighteous. The righteous man who thinks he's righteous isn't. All are under the penalty of sin. And that's Romans 1, 2, and 3. Just establishing, you know what? Here's the baseline. We're all sinners. We all need that gospel of God. We need redemption from it. And so that's what 1, 2, and 3 are talking about. We take a look at, it should say 4 and 5, but looking at the justification. So we're all condemned, but now what? So Paul starts with Abraham. Romans 4:3. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Okay. And we drop down to verse 10. How then was it counted to him? Well, Paul's going to explain. Okay, so how was this whole righteousness thing, how did that work? How was it counted to him as righteousness? He explains, and we drop down to verse 4:16. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the ones who share the faith of Abraham. So it's not just to the Jewish folk. Yeah, God started working through the Jewish people, but that doesn't mean God only cared about them, right? And so in 4, we drop down to verse 24. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. And he goes on to explain the justification and how the justification is relief from the past penalty of your sin. And in 5:18, so he's wrapping up the justification and says, therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. So Paul established that everybody is a sinner, everybody needs justification, and then he talks about the justification who's in the one and how we get that. And that sanctification is relief from the present power of sin. So justification from the penalty of past sin, sanctification from the present power of sin, and glorification from future presence of sin. And he talks about that as we continue in Romans. And we go, let's drop down, 7:24. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. So Paul's talking about how he's been sanctified, but in his mind, God's saved him, but he's not saved from the physical body yet. He still has that law of sin in his physical body. What a drag. We all know it. That curse of sin and us dealing with sin in our mortal body. So what's going to happen in the future? In chapter 8, he just talked about that in 7. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. He condemns sin in the flesh in order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. There's hope. There's hope. We don't have to have that curse of sin pressing down on us. we will have relief, and we can have relief in Christ. So, redemption. The baseline, the condemnation of all. Justification from the past penalty of sin. Sanctification from the present power of sin. And glorification from the future presence of sin. I breezed through it really fast, but Paul, every single verse, he just logically is stepping you through. And there's the doctrine that Paul lays out. What is the gospel of God? He lays that out for us. And just like Paul so often lays out a truth and lays out the application. So the first half of Romans, 1 through 8, deals with that theology. And I skipped over it really fast, but man, every single verse just builds on the next and goes on. So if that's the theology, then let's take a look at the application. Paul talks in the next couple chapters about the I've got up on here the philosophy of redemption. But we take a look, 9, 10, and 11. He's going to start with the Jews. Because, all right, Paul, you laid out this doctrine, but what about in the real life example? What about in the life of the Jews? And so he talks about their past, present, and future. And 9 verse 4, talking about God's sovereignty and how it all works. They are Israelites. To them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and for their race, according to the flesh. When we look at them, the example of redemption and in the past, and then in so Israelite got the law, but the law brought condemnation. And how does this gospel of God work with the Israelites? And when it comes to the present, in chapter 10, we see that the message of salvation is for all. And what a beautiful section if we drop down to 10:9. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified. And with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he talks about Israel's future and God's plan. And if we take a look at 11:25, I want you to understand this mystery, brothers. A partial hardening has come upon Israel. When's that going to be over? Until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. So God's work of redemption, that gospel, we see through the Israelites. We saw it in their past. And in the present, we know that salvation is for all. And why is it there was a partial hardening of Israel so that the gospel would come to all of us? So then, What do we do with that? How do we live the ethic of redemption? Paul talks about the duty to God to be a living sacrifice. He talks about the duty to state, submitting to authorities. What a drag. But we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to do it with joy. And then he talks about the duty to other people, to man. And judgment of others, following Christ's example. And I want to encourage you to read Romans 12 through 15. I don't even want to skim through it. There's so much there that's just, okay, now what? Now what do we do about it? Read 12 through 15. It'll only take you 10 minutes. Okay, 12 minutes, whatever. It won't take you that long, and there's so much good stuff in there. Love for you guys to just take a look at that on your own. And then in 16, Paul just kind of wraps up his closing remarks, and he talks about his plans. Actually, at the end of 15, he talks about his plans to visit Rome. And then in 16, he gets into greetings to different people. Hey, greet this person, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Oh, hey, you know what? Greet Mary, who worked hard for you. Greet this one and that one. And he wraps up, and I want us to take a look at 16:17. It's kind of Paul's last little instruction, because he knows what's been going on everywhere he's preached and taught. And he says, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause division and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you've been taught. Avoid them. Just, you know what? Avoid those people.
Dan, aren't you supposed to rehab them?
Well,
it's a loaded question.
You know, in 1 Corinthians, he reminded the church to not. The church was finally judging after Paul went and kicked him in the butt a second time, and then found out, yeah, okay, you know what? You've been hard enough on the guy. Ease up. So there was an example of a time that he said, you know what? Wrap your arms around him. Show him that you love him. This time, he's at least saying, avoid those who cause division and create obstacles contrary to this doctrine. So yeah, there's times that we need to correct them and rehab them and love them, and there's times that we just need to avoid. Tracy?
Yeah, well, you know, the whole reason to do either one of those two is it's a matter of the person's heart. Are they willing to say, I'm messed up?
Right.
You know, even though I still feel like I want to do it, I still messed up and I need your help. Okay? But if they're just in your face, causing division and creating obstacles, yeah, avoid them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I like what Ray Comfort always said, you know, lots of grace to the humble. You know, there has to be repentance.
Yes.
To determine which we do.
Yes. Yes.
28:4 says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, lest you also be like him. Answer a fool as his folly deserves, lest he be wise in his own eyes.
Right. So Proverbs, a book of contrasts, giving you the one way to respond, giving you another way to respond. Seeming contrast, but no. You need some of the one and some of the other. This one here, Paul's saying, you know what? Divisions, avoid those people. Now, he didn't say go out and stone them, but he did say avoid them. So, in his doxology for Romans, now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, 27, to the only wise God be glory forevermore through Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, Romans. Filled with logic, 1-8. If you remember, at the bottom of this one, you recall Paul talked about the truth. So in chapter 1-8, he talks about that gospel of God, the redemption. And then in the second half of the book, he talks about application. What to do. Read Romans 12-15. Ziola.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I'm going to go back to what you were talking about separating yourself. And there's in studying 1 Thessalonians, there's a cross in 2 Thessalonians. And that verse says, in 2 Thessalonians 3:6, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive, who does not live according to the teaching you receive from us.
Yeah. Yep. Keep away. So, lots of fantastic truth there. I'm asking that you take a look at 12-15 for the application for that truth. But yeah, if you ever want to take a look, what is the gospel of God, and then how did we see it through history? 9, 10, and 11 in the life of the Jewish church. Next week, we'll take a look at Ephesians and Colossians.